Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Dom Giordano's show, just
and of
reading.
Course, we've got the owner of the Newtown Athletic Club and one of the MVPs of the Trump campaign, Jim Worthington. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. All right, J.D. Vance over there on Saturday. The CBS debate tomorrow night says they will provide real-time fact-checking of the proceedings. Now, this is even worse, I think. Oh, boy, I didn't see this part till just now they released this. The CBS News confirmed unit consisting of forensic journalists.
Oh, no.
Whenever you hear that term forensic, you know, forensic accountants, it's always overstated that they can do anything to...
Call in the CSI, Dom.
Yes, they can reconstruct. And data experts will be verifying claims and addressing misinformation on a live blog, on social media, and in post-debate coverage on the network. All right, here's the problem with that. I would rather we do it right there rather than this, because we know where this is going to go. How in the world are these people going to be arbiters of a lot of this stuff? And then the candidate, be it Walz or Vance, has no opportunity to rebut it, try to put it into context. It will all be these pesky pencil pushers telling us, and I guess, Dan, they could do this almost literally. You could have 100 of these points during an hour and a half debate, maybe 200, that people are going to have to decide the accuracy of what they're saying. I mean, who's going to be involved in this? So I was saving this. I thought they were going to not fact check, but that's how they're going to do it. They think institutionally now we ought to go with this because this is scientific. Here's John Kerry over the weekend, and this is where this bias comes in. He was talking to the World Economic Foundation or Federation. I think it's Foundation. He doesn't like the First Amendment. You have these guys like John Kerry. They don't like the new world of talk radio, of Drudge, of Fox News, of gazillion podcasts. They think people are not getting accurate information. Their definition of it is what the establishment says, the Uniparty, and then what the three networks, which are now a gazillion networks, listen to what he wants to return to. And then we'll talk a little bit more about what CBS is. This is worse in some regards. I'd rather have the exchange. They say to Vance, that's not true. Vance can answer. Same thing with Walz, live, right there. The problem is, when you do this fact-checking, you could do this every 10 seconds. I mean, what kind of job? I've moderated 20 debates. And in some, they told me to intervene in these things. One damn was a Republican debate to find the worthy candidate to run against Bob Casey Jr. Was over at the Union League. So I forget that I'm trying to remember the thread of the question. If Casey says this, what will you say? And the guy gave me a non-answer, and I looked him in the eye and said, that's a non-answer. Right away, right in the beginning of it. Because they wanted me to toughen up the Republican candidates to go against Casey. And in the room, there was like, oh my God, you can't say that's a non-answer. What are you doing here? Now, I wouldn't do that in other debates. But here's Kerry. He doesn't like it that we're not listening to the big media.
And I think the dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You can't, you know, there's no, the referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree. And people go, and then people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle. So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this. And you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what you need, what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, you know, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
All right, Dan, we got enough here. So he doesn't like the First Amendment. Who are the referees? The referees, he wants to go back to the days we only had the big three, NBC, ABC, CBS. And whatever they said was a fact. Living in that, he was exactly right. That's what people said. Well, that's factual. The Philadelphia Inquirer says it. It's a newspaper record. New York Times says it. There were a very limited number of voices out there. And then along came talk radio. And in the beginning, it was not necessarily challenging those, but it's reached that level today. Along came social media, Fox News Channel. That's not a bad thing. Well, we can't get consensus, meaning he can't get his way to tell you the way the world should work. Now, not too far away from where we are, RFK Jr. is in town today. I think he's doing two things. One, he's over at the Jewish History Museum tonight. And I'm thinking about RFK Jr. and when did all this come to a head? When did this stuff that Carrie's talking about, and information, disinformation, some of it, Trump in 2016 started this nonsense on the other side. But you know what really did it? COVID. And again, we still have not had a reckoning of what we learned from COVID, what we didn't learn, what's factual. I don't know that we could get agreement on that. One thing that's factual is we shouldn't have stayed out of school the amount of time that we did. That was due to teachers' unions and other forces. And look at the result. Kids are so far behind today, there is no doubt about how far. And they're not going to recover, given the current situation that's there. And if we got another COVID scare or something like that, you're going to have people that want to replicate the same thing. So it was the COVID reckoning that really brought this home. And they really don't like that. Now, look. There were any number of people, just because they differ with whatever the establishment position was, doesn't mean they're not a nut. You had to make your own decision throughout this. And we sorted through any number of things about things that you might take if you had COVID, about who's vaccinated, should they be vaccinated, should they not be able to serve. Just think of the endless loop of those things. Saying we've arrived at any consensus, though, is pretty hard. 855-839-1210. Who are the referees that he's talking about here? And this is slanted toward what the media used to be. Now, we're going to get Bill O'Reilly on probably Wednesday. How's that going, Henry? Is he booked yet? Or
Wednesday not? At 12:15.
There you, okay, 12:15. All right. So, to break down the debate, but I'm going to ask him about this John Kerry stuff. He's an independent guy. You got Bill O'Reilly, you have Megyn Kelly out there. How is this a bad thing? Who is the gold standard? Who do you go to? Well, each individual has any number of sources they might go to. Now, Kerry's right in that you're not going to have this proclamation from on high. But again, back to COVID. How many of the things that were said were just not so, or they're pretty mixed? So all this to say, so Dan, I'll ask you first, and Henry, do you see the upside of this? Should there be no fact checking? I would tell you, as somebody that's done this, there shouldn't be fact checking. But what the moderator ought to do, and I'll admit it, what I try to do, I want to set the two of them at each other. I really do. I mean, this is a cage match. I want the two of them to go after each other. And once I see they've settled, the skill of the moderator, on an issue of importance, I'm not going to say we have to move on to North Korea now. If it took 90 minutes on the economy, I'll let them kill each other on it. That's what I want.
I'm a fan of fact-checking as long as it's guaranteed that the fact-checking will be fair to both sides. So like, we're talking CBS here. Are they going to fact-check Kamala as much as they're going to fact-check Donald Trump? We know they're not going to.
Well, I don't think anybody can do it. I don't think you can. I mean, we all have our own bias. You think you could do it?
Unless you're fact-checking every single answer, no. You know, it's like either...
Imagine the sentence.
Yeah, all or nothing. But they're going to have 20 experts on it, so maybe that's what they're going to do, is just fact-check every single thing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's like New York Times, what they do is they have, like, live updates for, you know, trials, where they have it kind of bump with different names, adding in different things, and I could see them doing that for each individual answer.
Well, I'll be fact-checking. It'd be a live Twitter thing I'll be doing, but it's biased beyond belief. It's just me. Who knows what I'll say on this?
I used to work at a small station down the shore, though, a 5,000-watt station. Yeah. So like a tenth of the size of the one that we're currently on. And they used to have local candidates on, and they did a style of debate. The great Pinky Kravitz was one that did it down the shore, where they would have people face off and ask one another questions and follow-up questions. And Pinky was just there to essentially take callers and guide the show. And they essentially let the candidates go at one another for the entire hour. That's the way I think debates need to be done. And then afterwards, that's when you have the fact checks out there for those that want to go look it up.
Oh, okay. The post fact check, you weigh in it.
I think it's fair. Like, if New York Times wants to fact check something, or if someone wants to go look at it, sure. But the whole live thing, I think you let things play out, let them go at one another, and then let the listeners determine who they like.
Now, this is pretty cumbersome. What I would say is, though, Dan, even in the post, if the New York Times says, well, here's this, but this other, you have a conservative voice that says this about it, even in the post, even when it's calm, I don't know what you can rule on that. There's very few things that came up during that debate.
How about this? What if CBS put their little QR code, which they're going to have flashing on screen that you can scan to get the fact check? What if they brought in one surrogate from the Trump campaign, one surrogate from the Kamala campaign, and allowed them full control of the fact checking and let them, you know, take over however they want to spin it? Take two people from the spin room from one side and put them in there.
Pretty good. I would tag in Tom Cotton if I'm the Trump people.
If you have a surrogate from both sides, they should have it be like America's Got Talent, and they have a big buzzer in front of them.
I love it. Yes.
Slam it, hit a big red X when something.
And then they get the golden buzzer when they hit immigration for the Republicans.
A lot's on the candidate, and Trump failed at that. When she started going off on Charlottesville, he should have butted in at the end of that, whenever his mic was on, and said, that's it. I'm not going forward. That's a lie. Everybody knows, even Snopes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Henry, what would you do?
Yeah, I'm a big let everything be said. Don't fact check it in real time, and let the public decide what's real and what's bull. Like, plain and simple. You don't have to fact check it after. Just let the information out there. Let the people decide. Both candidates could be lying straight through their teeth. That's okay. That's for people to figure out. Hey,
what did
that
I tell
lying.
You guys at the beginning? No booing or hissing.
The other thing is, I don't know who decides only 90 minutes. I mean, this is important. The stakes are this high. The TV ratings are there. Are they going to get Murder, She Wrote? Is CBS going to put that on and get a bigger number if we go another half hour?
They should just block out an entire 12 hours, and whoever gives up first loses.
Yes, well, you know me. That's the type of debate I want.
They're going to be going up against playoff baseball here, so we'll see. We'll see who the big draw is.
Okay, walls against playoff baseball. Well, I know the debates brought historic numbers the last time around, so I'm not sure who wants only do 90 minutes. Of this stuff, but...
You think J.D. Vance is shaking in his boots from all the testosterone from masculine Tim Walz?
Yes, what is Walz going to wear, and how soon is he going to say it, and what masculine men will they have there in the front row? Yeah. My God. All right, 855-839-1210. So this is their fact-checking style here. You heard John Kerry. Again, we want people to, the candidate's got to protect himself. No one should be jumping into the ring. Candy Crowley famously did that, the Obama-Romney debate, saying Romney wasn't saying what was true about Russia. and Obama was on the ropes on it. But she jumped right into the ring, and that's what the temptation is here. So we'll see with the two females that are running this, what they do on it. 855-839-1210. Which gets back, and we could have a million answers on what's a credible source. Okay? You want to go to Alex Jones or something like that? Okay, go right ahead. You know the history. You know some of that. Joe Rogan, that's a great source.
That's a great source, yeah.
Yeah. But there's many sources out there that are certainly credible to most people other than just the big three networks. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. You can jump in. Hit us on the Florida thing. And that will be, this is a consequential VP debate. Because I think there's a real opportunity here for Vance. And he's going to have to deal with the weird stuff and all that. But Vance, on the stump, what he's been doing is taking media questions at a rally. Like he did the other day at Jim Worthington's place. And that really sets him apart. He, more than even Trump on this, is actually doing it live in front of people. Not easy to do because you know they're going to come after him. 855-839.
Wait, a friend did get a question, and you want to hear that real quick?
Yes.
First. Next question.
Senator Linda Stein, Delaware Valley Journal.
Oh.
I was wondering, you and Donald Trump have promised us peace and prosperity. However, Israel is bombing Hezbollah now, and of course the war in Ukraine continues. What do you think is going on in the world? What will you do about it?
Okay, I thought that you were going to bring on the, thank you, Linda. They didn't boo her, thank God. They booed the Inquirer woman, apparently, though. Damn.
At that, oh, really? Let's see if I can find that. Oh,
yeah,
that'd be great
yes.
to play back. Yeah.
And she was trying to throw him off by saying, well, tell us, how are you actually going to deport these people? We've been through that here a little bit. All right. So I think this is a worthy debate tomorrow night. It's the one chance for people to see these two together. Vance has found his footing. I'll admit it, though. At least Stefanik on the other day, I really liked. And I'm sure she has things that they would bring up, go after her. I saw on Twitter the savagery of people going after her because she posted some of it. Not my people, but around the country. And it tells me she would be formidable, I think. I don't know why she wasn't in the final mix, but Vance has found his footing here. And I think is going to do well tomorrow night. And without the fact-checking, I would kind of like to see them try to fact-check. 855-839.
I think I found it, Dom.
Okay, here we go. The Inquirer reporter. And they're all trying not to debate with Vance or Trump about the need to deport people. They think they have Republicans on. You're not going to be able to do this. We challenge you. How are you going to get these people out of the country?
Next question.
Hi, Senator Vance. I'm Fallon Roth from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
That's all right. Let's let her ask her question, and then we can boo afterwards if it's a ridiculous question.
And she asked about the deportation.
I got a question.
Let's hear the question. Yeah.
This is your first stop in the Philly suburbs. Why did you choose Bucks County? And how can Republicans win back the suburbs in 2024 after President Trump lost in 2016 and 2020?
Well, I think there are a few things. First of all, look, we're going to make an argument to every Pennsylvanian. And I understand why you're asking the question, because you're looking at the demographics of politics, but I don't believe in this segmentation of urban, suburban, rural. We're all Americans, and Donald Trump and I are going to fight for every single vote. But But look, if you look at the issues that really matter to folks here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, you hear the same things, whether it's in Bucks County or whether it's in a much more rural part of Pennsylvania or whether it's in downtown Philadelphia, where I have spent a lot of time, in all these places. You hear three big concerns. One is public safety. One is the cost of everything. And the third is the wide open southern border.
All right. That's a good answer, Dan, in this, but I think you and I'm kind of shaking my head. He can't answer it, though, that they have to drill down differently in the suburbs. Abortion seems to be the only thing that matters out there in the suburbs, apparently. And mean tweets. What are you going to do about the tweets? You would think in Bucks County, all those things are the same issues as any place else in Pennsylvania. 855-839-1210. It looks like Israel is going to invade, the word is imminent, Lebanon. And once they do that, that is a pretty widespread war that will ensue, wider than even before. All right, your calls are next. Jump in on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. So this VP debate tomorrow night is going to be of consequence, without a doubt, more than the usual. Michael Whatley, the head of the RNC, is in the on-deck circle. I want to talk with him, though, about more than the debate. He is from North Carolina and how that is playing out. But let's go to Joyce in Westchester. Joyce with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joyce, afternoon.
Hi, Dom. I got to thinking after you played the John Kerry recording about what we hear and what we're going to be allowed to talk about. And I'm a pretty old person and remember Walter Cronkite years and years ago. And that was the turning point I remember reading and seeing in something like a documentary, when Walter Cronkite shared a mild opinion about the Vietnam War. It sort of turned tables. And from that time on, I think there's been somewhat of a degrading of accurate news. And this is what I hear. And I mentioned to someone before I spoke to you, I was an English major in college, and you need to turn your ears on for this kind of bias. All the legitimate stations, so-called, Nora O'Donnell, David Muir, those people who are supposed to deliver hard facts, use adjectives when they speak. And as soon as they put an adjective in front of what they're telling us, they are implying an opinion. It's so subtle, it's like boiling the frog, but it's happening, and it's wildly used now. Even the moderators are, when they speak, are using adjectives. So anytime you hear something like a descriptive word in front of a phrase that's supposed to be hard facts, and this is an important time for us to know the facts, be questioning what you're hearing, because someone's boiling the frog slowly.
Thank you, Joyce. Yeah, well, the Cronkite, Vietnam is a turning point. But what Kerry wants to go back to, he used the word referees. Who would the referees be? And again, jumping into the ring and fact-checking during any of this, that's where Trump really had the opportunity to go after David Muir. That was, and I think Vance would have. And I think tomorrow night, if there's any of that, he will. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. We'll talk with Michael Whatley about North Carolina versus Ukraine. All the money spent, all the care over that. No Biden, no Harris there in North Carolina today. The president, former president in Georgia. The ICE report, the VP debate, and 855-839-1210. That's how you jump in. Hey, how are your cholesterol levels? Managing healthy cholesterol is the key to a strong heart and overall wellness. For over 38 years, Rescue Natural Supplements has been a trusted ally in helping people reach their cholesterol goals. I've counted on Rescue for years and with good reason. Their range of supplements is designed to meet your specific needs, from omega-3s to red yeast rice and more. Take charge of your heart health today. Use the code DROP at checkout to double your order. on any cholesterol product for free. Reach them at 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use that code online when you visit res-q.com. res-q.com. Remember, just use that code DROP, D-R-O-P, to buy one, get one free on rescue cholesterol products. Double up your cholesterol support today. Use the code DROP at res-q.com. All right, Dom G or Dano Show. Just one comment before we go to RNC Chairman Michael Whatley. Rudy Giuliani used to say, I remember with 9/11, nice to go to the weddings, but you have to go to the funerals. And Harris and Biden have just forgotten the playbook here. I don't care whatever else you're doing. When you see this type of devastation, you have to instantly go here. And let's face it, politically, these are two swing states. Well, I don't count North Carolina as a swing state, but Georgia, definitely. Let's go to Michael Whatley from North Carolina. Sorry about that, Chairman. I know how capable you are, and I know you're going to go to the last second, but we're going to win North Carolina, right?
We are going to win North Carolina. Feel very, very good. We were the only state that Donald Trump carried out of the battlegrounds in both 2016 and 2020. And feel like we've got a fantastic ground game and really happy with the polling that we're seeing out of there.
So out there today, some voices, I'm one of them, saying, well, look at this, billions more toward Ukraine. Biden can get animated for that, Harris a bit, and yet they seem distracted, not exactly on top of this historical storm that we've seen in places like Georgia and certainly North Carolina.
Yeah, it's the catastrophic nature of this damage is really stunning. And I think that we truly don't know the true magnitude of it yet. Just to see the way that the neighborhoods, the communities are pulling together to try and help each other is really powerful. But this is horrific. And the fact that President Trump is on the ground, that he is working hard to try and make sure that we've got relief supplies going into the areas. When Joe Biden was asked if we're going to be providing additional aid to the states and said, no, we're doing it. They're not going to get anything else. That honestly is a horrific answer. And it's one that I think is just not going to withstand the test of time.
I agree with you. Here's a little bit of the president, Chairman, to that point. When asked, why are you and Harris both should have been in Washington commanding this? Here's what he said.
I'm a hurricane, Mr. President. Why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. Call the telephone. All my security people.
Is it not important for the country to see?
Out of the room.
Yeah, he's walking out of the room at that point. Look, yeah, you know, you at least have to put the pretense of being in Washington connected to this and get there on the ground, and that's where President Trump is. Let's talk about the VP debate tomorrow night, Chairman. We were just getting from CBS their version of fact-checking with forensic fact-checkers, but it'll be after the fact. I probably like that less, because the candidate won't get a chance to push back. And I think Vance would go after a fact checker here.
Well, he absolutely would. I think and he's certainly going to have an opportunity to go after, the Waltz, on anything that he's going to put up there. I think, you know, what we saw in his Senate campaign was J.D. Vance very, very strong in the debates that he had there against Ryan. And, you know, look, the facts are the facts. The positions are the positions. Right now, Harris and Waltz are doubling down on their open border policies. They're doubling down on their inflationary spending. They're both saying that they're going to institute the largest tax hikes in the history of the country. You know, so it's not just a matter of having a bad messenger. They have a bad message. J.D. Vance and President Trump right now are in a very clear position They're going to shut down the border. They're going to resecure the border on day one. They're going to end inflationary spending and unleash American energy on day one. They're going to make sure that America is strong enough, both at home and abroad, to protect our interests and those of our allies. So, you know, every single issue that matters to the voters right now, we're doing better. J.D. Vance, you could not have a better candidate for VP to articulate the views that he and Donald Trump have. I'm really excited about this debate.
Yes, this will be a consequential VP debate. I don't think any doubt about that. One of the things that the media started to do, Vance was in Bucks County in our neck of the woods, Chairman. They don't want to argue with him about deportation and what President Trump has said. They really want to attack, you can't do any of this. And his answer, and I think this is going to come up tomorrow night from probably the moderators, is we're going to get the criminals out of this. And the ICE report the other day, wow, stunning, even though it's a little bit late, that people inside of ICE released how devastating this is factually.
Yeah, when you talk about tens of thousands of people that are in this country illegally, that are rapists, who are murderers, who are convicted felons, hundreds of thousands of them. It's frankly frightening, truly, truly scary set of statistics out. And when those numbers landed, you knew immediately this is, you know, the October surprise. This is catastrophic for Kamala Harris, who has stood up on stage after stage after stage and said, we need to abolish ICE. We need to decriminalize border crossings, and we need to grant amnesty and voting rights to every single one of these people. She could not be more out of touch with the real feelings of the American people on this issue.
Latino voters, we've been talking about this because on MSNBC over the weekend, they had a Mexican-American commentator said Latinos are going for Trump because they want to be white. What does the polling and the gut instinct tell us? Economy, of course, but what else is attracting them to Trump in record numbers?
Well, they're coming to Trump because two things. First off, the legal immigrants that we have in this country are absolutely as appalled by illegal immigration as anybody else in the United States. And secondly, when you talk about the inflationary impacts that Kamala Harris is, you know, voting record, she's the one that cast the two tie-breaking votes on $2.5 trillion worth of inflationary spending that sent grocery prices, gasoline prices, and housing prices through the roof. That is very direct impact on Hispanic communities, Black communities, Asian American communities, all communities, right? So it's not a surprise that the Hispanics are coming across to Donald Trump. You know, the last time that a Republican candidate actually got a majority of Hispanic voters was George W. Bush in 2004, and I feel very strongly we're going to go back there this year.
That happens. I don't see how the math adds up for the other side. We're here in Pennsylvania, though, and you're paying particular attention to this. What's happening, volunteers and all that, any events coming up?
Yeah, we've got a lot going on. I think that, you know, you've had President Trump in Pennsylvania. He's obviously coming back on Saturday to go to Butler. You know, so that is going to be a huge, huge opportunity for everybody to see the president. J.D. Vance has been up there. I was just up there in Montgomery County and Harrisburg last week. So we're going to continue to be there for folks that want to sign up. TrumpForce47.com, where they can go and they can sign up. And also the fact that we've got over 200,000 volunteers across the country for our election integrity campaign. People can go to ProtectTheVote.com to sign up and help make sure that all of our elections are going to be easy to vote, hard to cheat.
Absolutely. Chairman, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you and your listeners.
RNC Chairman Michael Whatley. Tomorrow we'll have Laura Trump on the show and see what kind of updates we're getting around that. If you'd like to volunteer, though, Pennsylvania, you can feel you've done all that you can to try to pull us over the finish line. 855-839-1210. But this ICE report is shocking at this point that they actually came out with it. It's due to a Republican near a border state, Gonzalez, Representative Gonzalez, who provoked this by continuing to push to see the numbers. And as a result, we've seen how staggering they are. Everybody said about Latino voters. I don't know. Majority going for Trump this time would be shocking. Could we have an election where that happens? And let's say Trump gets 18 to 20% African-American voters. And people in the suburbs are still going to say no. It's a funny, it's a bizarre situation on the Republican side. Just doesn't make any sense. 855-839-1210, you get on board. All right, batteries plus bulbs. Told you about them for years. My buddy Roy there, two big stores he has, Mount Laurel, Route 73, Northfield on Tilton Road. And Roy is, the number one thing is he has fantastic people that know technology, need an energy audit, need help with your phone or anything that's tech. These are the people. But customer service is what he does. You know, the feeling you get, they're going to teach you whatever it is. So in the future, you might be able to take a look at this yourself, just all out. Maybe a sentimental item. Well, people are flocking there. And I'm so happy about this that we've talked about him over the years. So he needs some help. A handy do-it-yourselfer would be ideal. Great low-pressure job, part-time job. If you're willing to do what it takes to help, you need to talk to Roy. Of course, all your battery needs, whatever they might be, tech needs. They power it, they light it, and boy, do they fix it. Again, Mount Laurel and Northfield, and you can call them and tell them what the problem is, and over the phone, get a sense of what can be done. 856-638-0778. Again, if you're looking for that part-time job, low pressure, that you'll be actually doing what you like to do and helping people, and you're good at customer service, give Roy a call right now. 856-638-0778.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program with some friends, that including Henry Michette. And Dom, today I want to talk about what's to be the greatest movie of all time, The Return of Francis Ford Coppola, with Robert De Niro as a star and some other big names. Megalopolis comes to the theaters, Dom. And Henry, your review of Megalopolis, which you saw Friday.
I mean, it says something about America, this movie. What it says, I have absolutely no idea, and I don't think anyone else who watched the movie has any clue either. This was the worst movie I have seen in a long time. I am so disappointed that this is his life's work. I mean, he took a swing for the fences. I don't know what fence he was aiming at, though. Like, this movie was impossibly bad. Impossibly bad. I mean, just poor writing, over-the-top acting to try and correct that. Nothing flows together. Nothing makes sense. Every conflict introduced in the movie is resolved within 30 seconds. Like,
how was the setting? Was that at least redeemable?
No. That might have been the worst
part. How about the special effects?
It's so bad. It looked so fake.
Adam Driver as a star? He's supposed to be a good actor?
No one was a good actor in this. No amount of good acting could save this film.
And what was the box office?
It was $1.8 million.
Oh, my God.
On a $150 million
right.
budget.
And I think $100 million of his own.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of it was his own money. And I am sad to say that 15 of my hard-earned dollars went towards that $1.8 million. You want to know how bad this was? There were six other people in the theater with me and my friends. Three of them walked out.
No.
It was
like 2 hours into the movie, I was like, this thing has to be over soon. And I look at my phone and only 30 minutes have gone by. It was a disaster. I understand why for 40 years he tried to get this made, and every studio at every turn kept going, no, no, we're not giving you money for this. So I get it.
We'll be seeing Godfather 4 now to make up his money back, I guess.
This was his passion project. I give him credit for, I don't know, doing whatever it is he was trying to do here, but... Wow. Man, oh man!
I mean, The Godfather,
out.
Apocalypse Now, yeah. Bram Stoker's Dracula,
The Outsiders,
Megalopolis. Like, so Dom, the legacy. If it's as bad as Henry makes it out to be, Francis Ford Coppola, is it tarnished?
No, I mean everybody gets to have something. Yeah. You know,
this was his passion project. He
didn't
have
exactly.
One.
Yeah,
so. I mean he's had a couple that have kind of stuttered there though, right?
Yeah,
not like this.
He's got the franchise. The Godfathers are up there as the greatest films ever. Two of them, anyhow.
So. Hey, well you mentioned franchise last week during the announcement of Sherelle Parker's bringing 76ers into Center City, Philadelphia. Great idea, by the way. In the Market East section of the city, it was announced that by 2026. Sherelle Parker would like to bring a WNBA franchise to this city. Dom, your thoughts?
I don't know to be supported. I think Luke and I would go. And 60 Minutes last night did a thing. And in the end, they had to credit all the women of the WNBA versus Caitlin Clark. That 18,000 people are going to their games.
Yeah. You see one of her teammates has put it up that she wants a trade, essentially. And
why is that?
I don't know. It could just be contract stuff, for all I know. But there's a lot of rumors that Caitlin Clark and a lot of the WNBA players are upset that she's brought a certain type of, quote, new fan to the game that are not treating the other players so nicely.
Oh, you mean the racial part?
Yep.
Yeah. I think some of that's because I think there was racism toward Clark. Some of them might be racist, too.
Henry, what are your thoughts? Do you think sustain a franchise, WNBA franchise here in Philadelphia?
I would absolutely 100% support it. I would go to those games.
Yeah?
I mean, equal rights. We get to boo women, too, right?
There you go.
I mean, we wouldn't accept anything less than their best every game out, right? Am I wrong?
No, let me ask.
I think it would go great here.
I got one more question for Dom. If the coach of the WNBA team here in Philadelphia turns out to be none other than Dawn Staley, would you still go to every game?
No. Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah.
That's all I got for Dan.
Okay. I don't think she'd do that. She's, you know,
didn't
rolling
pay too
with
much
you.
Down there. I would
yeah,
think.
Where she is.
South Carolina.
All right. Ray Dittinger is coming up. Yesterday, debacle. The Fire Nick watch is on. We have Dom's Money Melody. And we're sorting out today where this North Carolina, Georgia, Florida storm leads us. And I am amazed that Trump's on the ground there. Biden can't summon enough to try to pitch in and help Harris out. Harris is not there either. This type of stuff, and these are swing states on paper, at least. If Trump loses North Carolina, he's not going to win the presidency. I don't see that happening. But Georgia is certainly a bit in play, and that's where Trump is. It's politics 101. All right, Florida, though, is the side question today. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what do you associate with Florida? Hi.
Go to the left, and that starts acting up.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right, Joe, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Donna in Malvern, we didn't take this one off. Donna, what do you associate with Florida?
Well, my answer is Florida orange juice. does it come from anywhere else? But anyway, I just one or two quick thoughts. Number one, I hope that this is not the October surprise. I hope they have something else even better out there waiting for us. And one other thing, Dan, I think last week you were talking about how you love to make the bed before you get in it at night.
Yes, yeah.
I have four sons, Dan, and they were all taught to make their bed first thing in the morning when they get up.
There you go. That's a requirement.
And one other thing, Dan.
Yes.
Your Maisie needs to iron the sheets. There's nothing like getting in crisp, freshly ironed, starched sheets.
Do not add that to my obsessive compulsions, please.
Oh, man. Maisie, put down,
that's too much.
Put down that accountant's hat and start, I don't know about starching. Oh, starching
that's
sheets.
That's tough. You don't want those hard sheets.
No, I don't want any starch there in the sheet. Bro, yeah, feel free to iron some today, though, when I come home. 855-839-1210, big 2 o'clock hour. you get on board. We might hear from Scott Presler, I think, too, about now he's on to these counties that have a backlog already of mail-in ballots or potentially a problem with that. Luzerne County, sadly, is one of them, and he's calling for transparency before we get anywhere near the election. He's on it. I mean, this is in Pennsylvania going to be as intense. And I have people on Twitter. I wish they would stop. This is not going to be a close election. Trump wins easily. If it's a close election, they cheated. Well, whatever. The bottom line is it's winnable. It's the fourth quarter coming up. It's close. So the question is, are we exerting everything we can to get over the finish line? That's the way I see it. Still a prediction this will be under 1% in Pennsylvania when everything is done. Franklin Graham there with Trump also in Georgia. Nice touch. 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.